Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
First, if you've ever felt burnout in your life, it was maybe time for a break or a change. Maybe you needed a vacation or a career move or someone to watch the kids for a bit, whatever it might be. But our next guest says many millennials are experiencing burnout as a way of life, and it's not something that can be fixed as easily as a vacation or a minor life change. Anne Helen Peterson is a senior culture writer and Western correspondent for BuzzFeed News. She wrote the piece, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. Anne, thanks for joining us.
So happy to be here.
Well, millennials, and that's generally, we're talking about people from 22 to 38 right about now, as I understand it, feeling a lot of burnout. And how are you seeing that? What kind of forms is it taking for people?
Well, I think the real revelation when I was writing the piece is that it doesn't manifest in the way that we necessarily think of burnout traditionally, which is like, oh my gosh, I'm so worn out. I'm so tired. I need to like go to the beach for a week and somehow I'll recover. More for, I think, a lot of millennials working in the current landscape of jobs, like it is something that you work through, that you just live with, like it is our base temperature. And it involves just kind of this flattening where it feels like everything that you do in your life is part of this endless to-do list and there's no joy to any of it.
And a lot of the examples you give from your own life and things you heard from others, it can make what might look like a routine task look overwhelming just in the scope of everything else that's going on.
Yeah. So the word that I use for it, which is kind of like a funny word or funny phrase, is called errand paralysis, because I was trying to figure out, you know, why couldn't I do these very simple tasks in my life? Things like picking up the dry cleaning. And everyone has something different on that list. You know, a lot of people, I think of it as like the bottom half of your to-do list, the things that keep getting rolled over week after week. And a lot of it is just that, like, you can't, you create these mechanisms in your life that you're focusing so much on your job and on giving all of your energy to your job that these other things that seem to have low payout, low benefit, just get ignored.
Let's start to look at some of the reasons that are behind this. And you just mentioned the attention to the job, the constant availability to the job, whatever it might be, thanks to social media and our phones. People are, they're never not working in some ways is what you're seeing.
Yeah, you know, in the piece I talk about how the last time that I really didn't feel burnout was when I was working as a nanny. And that was right after I graduated from college. It was around like 2003 to 2005. And I just had like a dorky flip phone, you know, I didn't even text people. But I also had this very clear on and off of the job. So I would show up at 8 o'clock and I would leave the house at 6. And there was nothing that I had to do for my job in the off hours. Whereas now I can be doing my job at all times, you know, on my phone, checking email, doing Slack, which is this, you know, communication tool for the workplace that people have on their phones.
And people, I think, give millennials a hard time for being on social media a lot, for being connected, for things that don't necessarily look like job reasons. But and I think you wrote about this, a lot of time on social media is in some cases maybe building a brand, performing for a potential future employer, even if you're not directly doing your job right now.
Yeah. So the contemporary resume in a lot of the work that millennials do, it's much more than a sheet of paper. It's your whole digital footprint. And that means like what your Instagram account looks like, what your LinkedIn account looks like, all of these different things that you post or that you write about or that you perform in some way that come together to form like your brand as a worker. And that's really difficult to understand if you have not tried to get a job in like the more contemporary, sometimes it's called knowledge work workplace. And so I think that's oftentimes why there's this feeling that millennials are lazy. It's like, why are you posting to Instagram? But that really is, for a lot of millennials, that is part of their work.
Talking to Anne Helen Peterson from BuzzFeed News, talking about the piece she wrote there, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. And underlying all of this is this sense of economic precariousness, especially after the Great Recession that started in about 2008. Can you talk about how that's just looming in the background here?
Yeah, most millennials have never been in a job marketplace that hasn't been defined by the economic downturn. So, you know, for some of us, that means that when we graduated college, we entered straight into it, and, you know, lack of jobs or even entry level jobs were being taken by people with much more experience. So there just wasn't really a place. And the suggestion that a lot of us internalized was go back to grad school. And so we did. And then when we emerged from grad school, a year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years later, the job market still had not completely recovered. And we had all the student loan debt that we accumulated during that time.
I want to bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Ellen is with us in Milwaukee. Ellen, hi. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, hi. I'm so glad to your guest that she's written this article. I feel very strongly that millennials do not deserve the bad reputation. And my reasoning comes from an up-close view of my own daughter, who's a millennial. When she was working here in Milwaukee at various, in the food industry, she was always working. Now that she's in Oakland, California, and managing a small restaurant, she'll get home at 1 or 2 in the morning, get up at 9, and be gone by 11. And that is her work week, except for one day a week. And when I've gone out there, I get 2 hours to see her in a day. You know, it's just incredible to me. Many other people in her generation work like that.
And how is she feeling amidst all of this, Ellen?
She puts her nose to the grindstone, but she has begun to use antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication.
Ellen, thank you so much for sharing her story. Best to your daughter. And Ellen's daughter's not alone. A lot of people are, I guess, having these symptoms of millennial life and having to medicate to deal with them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that anxiety really results from being in this environment of economic precarity. Like the job schedule that the caller just described is very typical for a lot of millennials who are cobbling together several jobs. You know, we call it oftentimes like, I have my main hustle and my side hustle. And like, that's not, you know, necessarily a brand new thing. Like, people have had side gigs for a long time. But the other thing too is that they're, you know, a lot of the jobs that we have, they're not what are sometimes called good jobs. And by a good job, you mean a job with a solid schedule, like a schedule you can predict for the next week so that you can do things like schedule childcare, a job that has not only just like 401k, but even just, you know, benefits like healthcare. And without those things, it just, you accumulate all of this worry. Like, you are worrying all the time, I hope I don't get sick. I hope that I can figure out someone to take care of my kids. Like, that, it builds on itself over time and contributes to this overarching feeling of burnout.
We're talking to Anne Helen Peterson, senior culture writer and Western correspondent for BuzzFeed News. We're talking about her piece, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Is this your story? If you're a millennial, do you feel like you're experiencing this kind of burnout that our guest is describing? Where does that come from? What do you try to do about it? If you're not a millennial looking at it from the outside, do you see maybe parallels with your own experience? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation on burnout among millennials. Anne Helen Anne Helen Peterson is with us from BuzzFeed News, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see this kind of burnout as a millennial, maybe yourself, among yourself and your peers? Do you see it looking in from other generations, or are you feeling it whatever generation you're in? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Back to your calls now. Daryl is with us in Germantown. Daryl, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm not a millennial. I'm 65 years old, and I also have two jobs going on. This is just a part of the way the economics of the world is right now. The sustainable wages just don't exist anymore in the workforce. So older people, younger people, whatever you want to call them, most of us have two jobs going on, and that's life right now.
Daryl, how are you feeling about that? Do you feel overwhelmed by this?
No, I don't. I feel fortunate that I have the skills to work and earn a living, and I don't have time to complain about it. I just go ahead and do what you need to do.
All right, Daryl, thanks for calling in. So, Daryl has the same economic reality, he says, but doesn't complain.
Yeah, I think that one thing that I've talked to a lot of people about is that there are so many parts of this experience that are, you know, things that have other people have experienced for a long time, or, you know, they're not limited specifically to millennials. What is unique about this particular generation, and obviously people on either side of it feel this as well, is that all of these things have consolidated at once. So the way I think of it's three things, right? It's like the economic precarity, so specifically never having a workforce that has been anything other than the current one that we have right now, right? The second is the student loan debt, which is, you know, astronomical compared to previous generations, when it was just a different scenario in terms of the cost of college, but also the ability to work your way through college and not emerge without debt. And then the third is really this need or the pressures of social media. And I mean that not in like a simplistic or like, oh, I need to be checking my Facebook account all the time. It's more that there is this pressure to feel like you are always living a life where things are balanced and put together, as well as the things that I was talking about earlier in terms of constant availability to your workplace.
Daryl, thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Jennifer with us in northern Wisconsin. Jennifer, hi.
Hi. I'm a Gen Xer, the quiet, silent generation. And I think all of us in Gen X, or many of us, also have a main hustle and a side hustle and a side hustle. And I'm raising three teenagers as well. And I'm just wondering if the difference between the millennials' experience and the Gen X experience is that it is much more on a public forum, and you've created a different language for the type of burnout and type of jobs and type of lifestyle. And I'm just wondering how those two generations might compare in your research.
Jennifer, thanks for the call. Anne?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Gen Xers really, especially depending where you are in the generation. So, you know, just because you were born in 1979 doesn't mean that you didn't experience a lot of the things that someone born in 1981 experienced. So that bumper generation feels a lot of similar things. Same for, you know, a lot of people I know who went into grad school in the early 2000s and then didn't actually enter the job force until the recession. Like, they are effectively, in terms of their lifetimes as workers, they're effectively millennials, even though they might be grouped with Gen X. But again, I think that a lot of these things, like, most millennials have never had an adulthood that hasn't been mediated through social media. Like, that is it's a different thing, and it accumulates differently. And like, I'm not saying, again, like, I'm not trying to diminish the feelings that other generations have, but this is just the one that it accumulates around this particular generation.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Adam with us in Atoma. Adam, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Adam?
Well, I'm just, I hear what you're saying. I definitely feel it. I got a full-time job and a business that I run on the side and a family, and it seems the more successful I become, the more weight's even on me as it goes along.
Are you a millennial yourself, Adam?
Yes, I am.
Adam, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing that. So even as Adam feels himself maybe being more successful, he feels the pressure growing even to maintain that, Ann. Ann, are you there?
Yeah. I think that, like, there is this feeling, you know, this is one of the things, too, about millennials is that we've been told for most of our adult lives that we're lazy or that we're children or that we're easily distracted. And so that's part of the burnout feeling too, is this complete disconnect between how we are represented oftentimes in writing or in depictions authored by different generations, oftentimes boomers or Gen Xers, and contrasting that with the way that we feel, which is that we are constantly working without rest.
Thanks for calling in, Adam. We're talking to Ann Helen Peterson from BuzzFeed News, talking about her piece on millennials and burnout. And I wanted to get into the idea of self-care. There's a lot of talk about this on social media and elsewhere, all these little ways and life hacks and things like that, that we can care for ourselves and get away from this kind of burnout. What do you see out there?
Yeah, I think that there was this feeling like self-care really became a popular phrase within the last 2 years. And a lot of how it's commonly used now is like, I deserve that massage, or like, I deserve that expensive facial cream or that sort of thing. Like, I should take time for that. But one thing that I've noticed is a lot of people feel like self-care is just one more thing on that to-do list that they need to do. For me, or another way to optimize themselves, like, this is the other thing about the particulars of millennial burnout, is there's this pressure to always optimize every experience. And so, like, okay, you got to optimize your skin. Like, how can you make your skin better using all of these different things that you can buy online? And I just feel like I'm failing, or that I need more things to buy online, and it doesn't actually feel fulfilling or like I'm actually taking care of myself in any meaningful way.
And it seems like there's a temptation to want, and I feel this too, not a millennial myself, but to optimize our slack time. Okay, if I'm going to relax, I'm going to make sure I get as relaxed as I possibly can and make the most of it. It's a lot of pressure on relaxing.
Right, or that you Instagram a picture of the book that you're reading while you're relaxing, right? Like, it has to, your leisure time must also be documented.
Now, you also put up a piece, not just the one you wrote about millennial burnout itself, but you got a lot of responses from people from different walks of life. And, you know, you can't have like a one size fits all for millennials or any generation. What kind of varieties of experience did you hear from your readers about?
Well, one thing that's really interesting about this piece is that oftentimes when like a white person describes a phenomenon, that's when it becomes a common understanding, right? So like, I wrote this piece and then people are like, oh yeah, millennial burnout. When a lot of people responded to me, they're like, you know, I'm a Black woman in America. I was born burnt out. Like, you know, this is the history that my family has carried with us. And so I've been very mindful of that, just trying to amplify voices, but also just spending a lot of time listening. So whether it's people of color, people who are first generation immigrants, disabled people, there are so many different ways that burnout accumulates differently for them.
Let's take another caller now. John is with us in Madison. John, hello.
Hi. I'd like to say if any other generations are having trouble understanding why millennials are so burnt out, they should try giving away their life savings, giving away their retirement benefits. Start from scratch with like $100, but like $30,000 in student loans. Try looking for an apartment and looking for a job in that situation, and you'll quickly find out why so many millennials were attracted to Bernie Sanders with a promise of, you know, reduced college tuition or no college tuition, and, you know, free health care for everybody.
John, thanks for the call. A couple points there, and let's tackle actually the second half of what he had to say. Anne, you write that, okay, there's self-care and individual ways to deal with burnout. You say there's something bigger needed.
Yeah, I think that we have to change our relationship to labor. You know, I think there was this understanding that if we could just work more, right? The promise is like if we become more efficient, then actually we would be able to work less, right? That like we would get more done in less amount of time. That's not how it's worked out. Instead, we work more for more hours and we're more exhausted. And so I think this is one of the reasons why younger people, especially millennials, are really attracted to unions again, after a period of maybe believing that they weren't as necessary. Same thing with democratic socialism. Like if you identify our relationship to labor as the problem, then someone like Bernie Sanders or AOC is going to be very appealing.
John, thanks a lot for the call. And in our last couple minutes, do you think that having written this and gotten it out there and heard back from other people maybe in the same situation, has that, I don't know, started to clarify your thinking about this nagging burnout that you kind of knew was there but didn't have a name for yet?
Yeah, I think, a lot of the things that I described of being impossible for me in the first part of the article, writing it liberated me from the shame and allowed me to actually just get it done. Like I made all these appointments, you know, I dropped off my shoes at the cobbler. And the number of people who have emailed me to say similar things is really startling. And, the phrase that millennials sometimes use is I felt seen. And what that means is that the article articulated something about you that you feel like, you know, the rest of society, your close friends and family maybe don't understand. And so my hope is that now that we have more language to talk about this feeling, that we can actually do something with that.
We'll leave it there for now. Anne, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Anne Helen Peterson is a senior culture writer and Western correspondent for BuzzFeed News. She joins to talk about her piece, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation.